green hair and embroidery. Do listen on, my friends. If you're an embroiderer, you've probably heard of the British embroiderer Constance Howard. And if you don't know of her work, then you probably remember her as the embroiderer with green hair. And that must have been an outstanding feature for a woman of her time. Not something you'd normally associate with someone who works with a needle and thread, but I think Constance Howard was born to be different, going on to have a colossal influence on contemporary embroidery at a time when it was deemed to be a comparatively minor craft, setting a pathway that's probably helped lead to the expansion of the textile arts as we know them today. In fact, the importance textiles and embroidery now hold is due a great deal to her work and example. Described by The Guardian as a remarkable artist, an inspiring teacher, and an extraordinary character, Constance Howard was arguably the most influential British pioneer in textile design of her generation. The Telegraph writes that Howard helped to raise embroidery from the status of genteel hobby to that of an art form. And as I record this, her book, Inspiration for Embroidery, stares back at me from my overloaded bookcase, a reminder of the immense worldwide influence this one embroiderer had. So, let's find out more about this truly amazing woman and impactful green-haired embroiderer. Hello and welcome to the Stitch Safari podcast, a sprightly and upbeat expedition into the alluringly appealing ambrosial world of stitch history, art and embroidery. Each fortnight we'll trek through and discover the utilitarian, the decorative, the quirky, and the just plain fun world that is the art of the needle. My name's Kathy Jack Copeland and I'm the Stitch Safari Expedition Leader. I'm an Australian textile artist, teacher, judge, blogger, and stitch enthusiast whose work in contemporary machine stitch became my business. Constance Howard was born in Northampton in 1910 and from the age of 10 studied art at evening class. At the age of 14, she was denied a grant to the Royal College of Art because it was believed the money would be wasted on a woman who would eventually marry. Constance taught at the Kingston School of Art, where she met fellow tutor Harold Parker, relating this fascinating account of the war years there. "I was in charge of the dress and millinery department at the Kingston upon Thames School of Art during the war years. The school remained open for full-time and part-time students. With the shortage of materials and rationing of most commodities, ingenuity was shown by both the staff and the students in conserving what stocks of materials we had and in using them with care. We couldn't cut into our few good pieces of cloth, so students took turns to drape fabrics on stands to explore ideas, after which they developed their designs on paper, adding imaginative features such as patterns of embroidery to their drawings. Salvaged materials were bought at very low prices. Pure silk taffeta was as little as 1/6 per yard and linen 1 shilling per yard. Make, do and mend classes flourished. Old garments were refurbished and decorated with embroidery." Constance also recounts embroidered maps made by the students and staff at Kingston for the RAF as part of the school's war work. "This we did during the vacations, working on a very tough, water-rough fabric that gave us sore hands from the effort of pushing the needles through the close weave. We worked wooded areas in French knots, placed solidly together in tapestry walls and others of a similar weight in several shades of green on an olive green background. Stitches were worked over one another to give a slightly raised effect to some of the hills, stem stitch separating the fields and roads. These maps were apparently more accurate than photographs in depicting relief because of the raised stitches. In 1945, Constance did indeed marry fellow tutor and sculptor Harold Wilson Parker, and 2 years later became a part-time tutor at Goldsmiths College in southeast London. Goldsmiths University of London was founded in 1891, specialising in the arts, design, humanities and social sciences. Constance went on to establish an embroidery department in the art school at a time when London was struggling to find its feet again after the devastation of World War II. She became principal lecturer in charge of textiles and fashion, promoting and nurturing the concept that embroidery was an art form and the perfect vehicle for artistic self-expression, while also building the tradition that helped give Goldsmiths College its leading role in art and design. And as founder of the embroidery department at Goldsmiths, Constance was able to employ such innovative teachers as Christine Risley, Barbara Dawson, Morris and Jane de Sommeries, David Green, Professor Anne Morell, Arian and Dennis Short, and Harry and Elmer through Baron, helping to develop a courageous and innovative path for students of embroidery. Even after her retirement in 1975, her standing continued to grow, partly due to her visiting lectures in Europe and the US, along with the authorship of a number of key texts. In 1980, Audrey Walker established the Constance Howard Textiles Special Collection, containing more than 2,000 textile pieces and related items, many of major historical importance, documenting the pioneering history of textiles at Goldsmiths through the use of slides from its initial beginnings in the late 1940s to the present day. In 2002, the Constance Howard Resource and Research Centre in Textiles was founded, containing numerous textiles she donated on the basis they would be stored in perpetuity, along with her invaluable teaching notes and experimental samples created by her students at Goldsmiths from 1952 to 1975, forming a landmark history of British 20th century textile art and telling a unique and distinctive story of creativity and innovation. One of Constance Howard's design teaching aids formed part of her bequest. It's a set of black mounted images that included embroidery, magazine cuttings, drawings, design motifs, and solutions. I love that word, solutions. The photographic images were broken down into stripes, squares, spots, and dots, describing some of the combinations in which they could be used. This visual aid was supported by small embroidered pieces stitched in varying arrays of thread colours. One of her most celebrated commissions includes The Country Wife, a large hanging for the Country Pavilion of the Festival of Britain held in 1951. Another work, an abstract work embroidered in 1968, described by Constance herself as a mixture of classical and African styles, features the head of a woman stitched in luscious purples, black and olive. Its exotic element is expressed through colour and appliqué silk using black stitched lines enhanced with beads. Sharp and angular stitches are used in this dark, rich and mysterious work. And apparently turquoise and violet were her favourite colours. This small, slight yet energetic woman had the ability to attract and recruit newcomers to her way of thinking, and in 1975 was awarded the MBE for services to embroidery. She remained powerfully individualistic, retaining her enthusiasm for textiles, which she was able to communicate to everyone. But she was no shrinking violet, dyeing her hair from the 1930s, allegedly using lithographer's green ink as hair dye, later switching to a fluorescent green. A goldsmith's lecture held in her honour saw this indomitable woman, at this time in her 90s, stand out from the rest of the audience. Students remember her as kind and patient, endearing her to generations of students. Yet she was also a prolific author, penning Design for Embroidery from Traditional English Sources in 1956, Inspiration for Embroidery in 1966, Embroidery and Colour in 1976, Textile Crafts in 1977, and in 1979 came the Constance Howard Book of Stitches. Over the next few years, Constance researched and wrote the classic four-volume study, 20th Century Embroidery in Great Britain. The importance of the work and impact of Constance Howard goes far beyond Goldsmith's. She was considered the most influential British pioneer in the field of textile design of her generation. Constance Howard's legacy is one of innovation in the textile arts, constructing that ever-important dialogue between drawing and stitch. Professionally, the impact she had on contemporary embroidery was enormous, but it was also that sense of developing a belief in the scope and possibilities of textile work during the second half of the 20th century where she was most effective. Remembered as an innovator and revolutionary, many important artistic genres owe a huge amount to the work and example of Constance Howard, helping to nurture the idea of embroidery as an art form and vehicle for artistic self-expression. Significantly, during the 1950s and 60s, embroidery and textile art were contained within the confines of the flat rectangle or square, similar to that of fine art. And while Constance Howard may not have changed this attitude, she did work towards expanding the possibilities that existed between those boundaries. By the late 1960s, there was a feeling that embroidery wanted to escape from those confines of illustration to be explored on a far more adventurous level, and so it has. Students were strongly grounded in basic embroidery and drawing techniques and allowed to develop their own style entirely, often travelling down paths they would not otherwise have taken. How often does that happen? Constance Howard formed part of the vanguard of the Renaissance of modern embroidery, influencing generations of embroiderers and textile artists. This quiet revolution saw embroidery move from an occasional sedative occupation to one of refined and justifiable art. So, looking at embroidery from the contexts of drawing, design, technique, and innovation, Constance Howard was certainly a trailblazer, garnering a worldwide influence. I think it's so easy to forget those who have gone before us, but in my opinion, it's essential to understand not only how the world of embroidery has grown, but also its roots, its genesis, where it's actually come from and how it's moved forward. Add to that the importance Constance Howard put on observing and drawing to create original embroidery designs is a significant step in that genesis. I'm going to leave you with this from Constance Howard herself, written in her introduction to her book Inspiration for Embroidery, published in 1966 by B.T. Batsford. The popularity of embroidery has increased during recent years, and with this, a higher standard of design and workmanship has developed. But there is still much scope for the encouragement of originality in ideas and the ways and means by which design and pattern making may be understood more fully. Technical skill is only part of any craft with which progress is limited. But how to make something without building up aesthetic appreciation and a sensibility in taste is worthless. And I think that says it all. Thank you so much for listening and for your time. How I would have loved to have worked with Constance, but even just flicking through her book shows her deep appreciation and understanding of the processes of design, of building patterns, observing and drawing, and being able to represent and replicate that into a pleasing embroidery that is truly yours and truly unique. The foundations of design haven't changed, so I look to these books from the 60s and 70s with a great deal of appreciation. There's always more to come in 2022, so do stay tuned to the Stitch Safari and subscribe. Stitch Safari's now reached over 8,500 downloads, and that's all thanks to you. It's also been mentioned as one of the 20 best embroidery podcasts of 2021 by Welp Magazine and listed in the top 5 textile industry podcasts as at January 2022 by Feedspot. And I'm extremely grateful. Please leave a message and subscribe to the Stitch Safari podcast. There's just so much more to discover and it's also fascinating. I do post interesting tidbits on Instagram and Facebook from time to time, as well as book reviews and a blog on the Stitch Safari website, so do head on over. Till the next exciting episode of Stitch Safari and our next inspiring adventure into Stitch, embroidery and design. Bye for now.